your blessing. I'm going to move some of this.
I don't know. Tired up. You'll find the scripture tonight in the book of Psalm chapter 11. Psalm chapter 11, just one verse, verse number 3. I do praise God for what He's doing for us and what He's been doing all week and all day. And it's just hard to take it all in, but sometimes going down the road, you remember things that were said, and it still is a blessing. But I certainly do appreciate all the preaching that we've heard this week and appreciate the message tonight by Brother Bill and the wonderful singing. And I am humbled and honored just to be a part of this service. I may be the worst among you, but I'm grateful that God has given me a place in His kingdom. Amen. And in His service. I don't have any sad stories to tell. I could think of some. But I'm just glad God found me, saved me, and gave me a place in His service. Amen. Psalm chapter 11, verse 3. If the foundations be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And then as a companion text, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 17. 1 Peter 4:17. For the time is come, the judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Let's bow our heads again, please, while we pray. Our Father, I bow in Your presence tonight, asking You to forgive me, to cleanse me of every sin. Lord, Thou said in Thy word that You cannot and will not hear us if we regard iniquity in our heart. And I pray, Lord, that You'll cleanse me from all iniquity, every thought, action, attitude, whatever about me that's unchristlike, I pray that You'll cleanse me of it. Thank You for this wonderful day, for the Word of God, and for the songs that have blessed our hearts and lifted up our hearts in worship and praise to You. Thank You for this camp meeting. Thank You, Lord, for Brother Stephen and Brother Jamie and all those that labor and help. Thank You for Calvary Baptist Church. Strengthen them. Encourage these dear people and bless their labors. I pray for every man of God that is here tonight. Lord, that You will bless them in their respective places of service. We need a word from God. We need a word from heaven. And I pray, Lord, that even now through Thy servant, that You'll be pleased to speak to our hearts. When we leave tonight, may we be aware that God has spoken to us and that God has said something to us. We love You because You first loved us and gave Yourself for us. In the name that's above every name, the name of our blessed, blood-stained Redeemer, I pray, amen. I want to speak to you tonight as we consider this verse and other verses about this thought. If the foundations be destroyed, what shall the righteous do? Is verse 3. Of Psalm 11 says. Now of course there are two foundations. There are eternal foundations. And there are earthly foundations. And as Brother Dale has been making it clear to us, there is a spiritual world. And there is this physical world that we now live in. And certainly we are aware that this world, planet Earth, is connected to heavenly things. There are demons about us tonight, principalities and powers, but there are also the angels of God. And if God will let me in, who knows what will happen in the night, but if God will let me, I'd like to speak about angels on Friday night. But we're in a battle against a satanic enemy, principalities and powers in high places. And so these are very important words. the foundations be destroyed, what shall the righteous do? As someone has asked the question, what will you do when the bottom falls out? Now, of course, those that do not know God, there's a different answer altogether. There are eternal foundations. 1 Corinthians 3:11, for other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid in Jesus Christ. But 2 Timothy 2:19 says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. As I've often said, I'm sure even here, I don't think that I'll ever forget that wonderful night, Brother Dan, when God saved me in mercy and in grace. But if I get some terrible disease, and if I'm off in some home, slobbering and babbling into my oatmeal, I don't think that I'll ever forget this day. But if I do forget it, it won't matter. The foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. It is a work that God has performed. It is a work that God has done. And of course, our earthly foundations. Genesis 8:22 says, while the earth remaineth, seed time and harvest, cold and heat, summer and winter, day and night shall not cease. Now it's hot today, but it's been hot before. And if the Lord lets us tarry, it will be hot again. While the earth remaineth, there will come a time when the world will not remain, when the world will not destroy, and the world shall be destroyed. But as long as the earth exists, there'll be seed time and harvest, cold and heat, day and night, winter and summer. Now, of course, the global warming or the climate change. It used to be global warming. Before that, it was global freezing. And now because they can't figure it out, they just call it climate change. And so if it's hot or if it's cold, they've got it all covered. And they're talking about this planet warming up. Well, they're right. It is going to warm up. But it's not the kind of warming they're thinking about. Heaven and earth shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat and shall be dissolved thereof. Romans 13:12 says, and knowing the time, that now it is high time for now to wake out of our sleep, for now is our salvation nearer than when we believed. Like that old farmer woke up one morning and the clock struck 13. And he said to his wife, get up. It's later than it's ever been before. We do live in a late hour. And our Lord, I do believe, is at hand. And he is coming again. The Apostle Paul believed he would come in his day. And even 2,000 years later, we are certainly closer to the coming of our Lord. There are two foundations. If the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? 2 Timothy 2:13 says, if we believe not, yet he abideth faithful. Our unbelief won't put God out of business. Romans chapter 3 says, for what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the faith of God without effect? God forbid. Let God be true, and every man a liar. And the unbelief of men will not destroy the power and the purpose of God. Now, Brother Steve, I don't really believe God tries to do anything. He does it. If he wants to get your attention, he don't try. He does it. He knows how to get your attention. And our God has never tried anything. But he works according to his eternal power and his eternal purpose. Even if men do not believe, their unbelief will not make the faith of God void. Now, I know that there are times that God does limit himself to our faith, as he said of Israel, Psalm 78, because of their unbelief. They wandered in the wilderness. And it is our unbelief that causes us great problems. But in the sovereign, eternal purpose of God, His divine will shall be carried out. I think I told you some years ago, a group of theologians met in Dallas, Texas. And Brother Sidney, they spent 3 days trying to figure out if God is really sovereign, if He really knows everything or not. Now, don't you imagine that God was so worried awaiting their decision? Not on your life. The unbelief of men won't put God out of business. What God has purposed, He shall bring. He shall bring to pass. Charles Spurgeon, the great British preacher, had a dream one night. And he dreamed that there were a group of philosophers down at Brighton Beach on the English Channel. And they said they had a horse. And they said that that horse was going to drink the English Channel dry. And that horse drunk and drunk and got bigger, but the water remained the same level. And finally the horse, bloated, finally went off with a big bang and left a discarded hide. Spurgeon said, "Brethren, that's infidelity. I want to tell you that God's purposes will come to pass." Dr. Lee used to preach a message on hush and blush, you infidel. What God has purposed will come to pass. And if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? That is a good question. There are eternal foundations. What can the righteous do? We can turn to this eternal foundation, the foundational book. We have a book that's accurate. We have a book where we can read the last chapter from the first verse of Genesis to the last book of the Revelation. And we can read what God has purposed and what God will do concerning this world. And the purposes of God shall be realized. Psalm 12:6 says, "The words of the Lord are pure, words of silver, tried in the furnace of earth, purified 7 times. Thou shalt preserve them to all generations." We have an eternal book, the blessed Word of God. Now God has two great witnesses. And of course, two is the number of witnesses in the Bible. But those two witnesses are the incarnate Word, the Holy Son, and the inspired Word, the Holy Scriptures. We have a book that will stand when this world is on fire. What God has said is eternal. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but My Word shall not pass away. This world shall pass away. These earthly foundations shall be destroyed, but there is an eternal foundation, and it is the living, written Word of God. You remember when David was fleeing from Saul, and he came to Nob, and he asked Ahimelech, the priest, if there's any bread. And the priest said nothing but the holy bread that's already been consecrated. And so David ate that holy bread. And then David asked, is there a weapon? And the priest said, "No, there's just one. It's the sword of Goliath. It's the sword that you used to cut Goliath's head off." And David said, "Give me it. There's none like it." And that's the way I feel about this blessed book. There's none like it. Give me it. This book still works. This book reveals the heart and the mind of God. And this foundation cannot be destroyed. God's Word has been tried in the furnace of opposition. Every ploy, every plan of hell has been used to besmirch the Word of God. But the cunning of hell and the craft of earth combined cannot destroy the word of the Lord. The words of the Lord are pure. And His word, the pure in heart, shall see God. We that are saved tonight know a secret that this world cannot know. And what is bad news to the world is good news to the people of God. I am grateful that behind the news, the secular news, there's God's news. And Brother Ronnie, when I preach, I try not to watch the news. I get a bad spirit, Brother Dan, and I just try not to watch it. And I hadn't seen it 4 or 5 days, and I'm so happy. But behind all that bad news is the Word of God. I wish I hadn't the thought of it, but it came to my mind. I read some time ago about John F. Kennedy's brain. Of course, you know, most of us blown away that terrible day in Dallas. But in the Smithsonian Institute, they have his brain and that shirt they was wearing. And somehow they misplaced his brain and they can't find it. But I got to thinking, Brother Steve, it'd be hard to find a brain anywhere in Washington, D.C. You can rest assured of that. But we have a God who's on His throne. And we have a word that leads us and guides us. I am grateful for the blessed word of God, the eternal word of God. It is the Bible that is true. And it would be better, of course, not to even been born if this Bible's not true. If this Bible's not true, I have no hope. If this Bible is true, I am a miserable man. But I believe this book with all my being. I believe it's the eternal, inspired, holy, infallible Word of God. The Word of God that is eternal, in duration, infallible, and the Word of God shall endure forever. If the foundations be destroyed, we still have a book. Now there are foundations all around us that are being destroyed, but not the Word. The Bible is astronomically correct. It is geologically correct. It is psychologically correct. It is historically correct. It is geographically correct. It is medically correct. It is botanically correct. It is zoologically correct. It is meteorologically correct. It is prophetically correct. It is the Word of God. The steel is yet to be forged that can scar it. And the fire is yet to be lit that can destroy it. And the scholarship is yet to be discovered that can discredit it. It is the eternal Word of God. And the foundation be destroyed. Thank God this whole book will stand. God's blessed Word. I remember the first time I ever heard a liberal. I'd heard about them, but I never really met one. But I remember hearing one. But I'm grateful that this book, the Word of God, is still the book, the holy book, the blessed book for me. That's what we've been hearing preached all week and last week. Here's a book. You hadn't heard a thing here. That you didn't get, they didn't get out of the book. It's the book. And it's amazing how God can take different men, different backgrounds, different abilities, and put it all together. And like a sword, the Word pierces the heart. The book will get the job done. My personality and my ambitions can't do it, but the Word shall do the job even in the 21st century. It is the faith that was once delivered to the saints. The same Word. And I remind you that that foundation cannot be destroyed. And there's another foundation. The foundational blood cannot be destroyed. All the hope I have in this world is based on the blood of Jesus Christ. I'm not going to heaven because I'm a preacher. I'm going because God in mercy and in God in His wonderful grace has saved me. And if that hope be removed, what can the righteous do? If the book is not sure and steadfast and the blood is sufficient, we have no other message. We're justified by faith and not by works. And our hope rests on the fact that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto Himself. He became sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God. He did take my place. He did pay my sin debt on the cross. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The blood shall never lose its power. Peter says, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things, as silver and gold from your vain conversation, which ye received by tradition from your fathers, but the precious blood of Christ, the Lamb without blemish, without spot, who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was manifest in these last times for you. Long before Calvary, even before He created the world, in an untrodden trek in eternity past, it was determined that God's Son should pay our debt of sin on the cross. I've told you, I think, first time I had the privilege to visit Calvary, I think Brother Steve's on the trip we went together on. And, of course, you could go to top of Calvary in those days, and that's long since been over. It's a Muslim cemetery, and then even it was a grown-up Muslim cemetery. I remember standing on the top of Calvary, and I thought to myself, I've been here before. I was here before the world began. I was here when Christ hung on the cross. I was in His mind. And I was in His heart. And thank God, April 15, 1958, Central Baptist Church, I went to Calvary. Thank God, I've been to Calvary. My sins are all pardoned, and my guilt is removed. I'm saved by the blood of the crucified Son of God. If the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? But these foundations cannot be destroyed. In Revelation 17, you find the finality and the future of the harlot church. Babylon the Great is fallen. But you'll notice in Revelation 17:3 that false church, that harlot church, is arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with gold and precious stones and pearls. But in Revelation 19:8, to the church I belong to, and to her it was granted that she should be arrayed in fine linen, clean and white, the righteousness of the saints. I am grateful that I'm clothed in the blood of Christ. There are earthly foundations that will be destroyed. Now, when we move from the spiritual foundation to the worldly foundations, the question is not if they shall be destroyed, but when they shall be destroyed. 1 John 2 says, and the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. The only thing that will last is what we do for Christ. And I do want to die on the battlefield. I do want to die as a soldier of the Lord Jesus. I love to preach, and it's been that way since I started preaching, and even before. God puts that in His men. There's a love to preach. And if you don't love to preach, then you got problems. And it burns in our hearts. And we have to discharge it somehow. I try to walk every day when I'm home, and I'm bad to preach to myself. And sometimes I forget people's around me, but I just have a big time. And maybe someday they'll throw a net over me. But I'm happy. I'm happy telling the old, old story. Thank God for the privilege to be a part of the church and a part of the blessed ministry. This world shall pass away. You remember that in Samuel, they wanted a king. They said, we want to be like the other nations. And God said to Samuel, it's not you that they have rebelled against. It's not you that they have rejected. It's me. And Samuel, God said to Samuel, now you tell them what kind of king they're going to get. And he described exactly the king they would get. And they still want him. In verses 11 and 12 of the 8th chapter of 1 Samuel. And he said, this will be the man of the king that shall reign over you. He will take your sons and appoint them for himself, for his chariots, and to be his horsemen. And some shall run before his chariots. And he will appoint him captains over thousands and captains over fifties. And then he said, he will take your daughters to be confectionaries and to be cooks and to be bakers. And he'll take your fields and your vineyards and your olive yards, even the best of them, and give to his servants. And he will take the tenth of your seed and of your vineyard and give to his officers and to his servants. And he will take your men servants and your maid servants and your goodliest young men and your asses and put them to his work. He will take the tenth of your sheep and shall be his servants. We're going to take your sons. Samuel said that this new king you want is going to take your sons. He's going to take your money, and he's going to make you pay taxes. And by the way, Israel is still paying taxes. And even in the days of Jehoiakim, they were paying taxes. And even when our Lord was born, they were paying taxes. If the government knows where you are, they'll tax you. And if they don't know where you are, they'll find you. But they said, we don't care. Nevertheless, we want a king to reign over us. The people refused to obey the voice of Samuel and said, nay, but we will have a king over us that we might be like all the nations. And even our blessed, beloved country. And I do love this country. And I thank God for the freedom that we've enjoyed as a nation and for the fact that the gospel light has gone from our shores all these years. And I am grateful, and I'm grateful to be a citizen of this country. But there are those that say we want to be like the other nations. We want to be like the European nations. We want to be like Copenhagen. We don't want to be Americans anymore. And I pray that God will never grant their desire. But God said to Samuel, you tell them, if that's the kind of king they want, they got him. And he will be their king and do the things that he described in these verses. But I remind you that the saints of God, like Samuel, we don't have to go to pieces. We don't have to walk up and down the hall wringing our hands. But we can do as Samuel did. He prayed. He obeyed God, did what God told him to do, and he found peace. And that someone has said that it's like being in a hurricane. That hurricane revolves around a great calm right in the center as the eye of the storm rages around it. And that is a good way to describe being in the will of God. It's that upper chamber someone talked about this week, where we can go and just get along with God and spend time with Him. When all around my soul gives way, my anchor holds, because my hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ, His blood, and His righteousness. Earthly foundations will pass. The same word that created this world will destroy this earth. And I'm not ashamed to own Him as my Lord. Ezra said, I am ashamed and blush to lift up my face to Thee, O God. For our iniquities are increased over our head, and our trespasses is grown into the heavens. That it's a terrible state to be in. Ezra was so ashamed and brokenhearted over the sins of Israel until he said, I'm ashamed and I blush to lift up my eyes. But oh, thank God for His wonderful mercy and for His wonderful grace. Some time ago, I visited Dixon, Illinois, the boyhood home of Ronald Reagan. And in the house where he lived, there's a room that still has his mother's bed. And there's a Bible open, lying on that bed. It is the same Bible that was used during Ronald Reagan's inaugurations, both of them. And there was a chain up, you couldn't get into the room. And the lady that was the guide was describing that Bible and being Ronald Reagan's mother's Bible. And she said, I can't remember what verse it is. And I wasn't being smart, but I said, I know. It was 2 Chronicles 7:14. She had it underlined. If my people which are called by my name shall humble themselves, pray, seek my face, turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven. I will heal their land. And our land needs healing tonight, spiritual healing. Oh, this is such a wonderful meeting. After being facing the things that we faced for a year and a half, isn't it wonderful just come together, a crowd like this, and we can shake hands, and people actually even hug each other. What a wonderful thing it is we have to come to worship. Don't ever take it for granted. I don't know about you, but when the government did their best to shut our churches down, and it seemed like that they worked over hard on the churches, I missed a Sunday or two being in the house of God. I missed it. There's nothing like it. I'm grateful for technology and the internet and all that, but there's nothing like being in the house of God where the Lord's people gather. Give me it. There's none like it. I love the house of God. I love the Lord's people. If the foundation be destroyed, what shall the righteous do? And then he says in Peter, the judgment must begin at the house of God. If the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the sin of the ungodly appear? Now, of course, he's not saying that we just barely got saved, or the Lord had a hard time saving us. But it was a hard time for us to leave our sins. Because Matthew 7 says that this is a straight gate. And wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth to destruction. And many there be who go in thereat. This is a straight gate that leads to the narrow way. John Bunyan said, you'll discover not long after being on this narrow way that it's not very crowded. But I am grateful to be a part of the Lord's church, of the foundation that cannot be destroyed. Thank God for all of His blessings and the liberty that we enjoy. But may God help us to realize what a treasure we have. What a blessed thing it is to gather here tonight, hear the preaching of the word, hear these wonderful songs, and worship and praise our God. If the foundation be destroyed, what shall the righteous do? There's nowhere to go but to the Lord.